Accession number 27815, Mr. Peter Collins, Reel 7. Now, what about the problems you had with your knee? How much of a problem was that to prove in later life?
A great deal. I had the rest of the kneecap removed in 1950, and then I had later had it, the wound opened up again and the area scraped scrape the arthritis away. I then had four injections in four places, gold injections. And then in 19, I was then under the National Orthopaedic Hospital. I had my kneecap complete, not my kneecap, what was left of my kneecap completely removed, as also the rest of the knee itself. And I had an operation which gave me a cobalt steel knuckle which went onto a sorbo kind of thing at the top of the knee.
An artificial knee joint.
Completely. I then in 19...
Doesn't matter about the date.
No. I then had a lot of trouble with my other knee, and that was removed, the kneecap there was removed in about 1969. And then I had that one replaced in 1998.
So both knees, but only one of them blameable to the Royal Navy, you reckon?
Yeah.
Now, what about any question of a pension?
I got a pension, war pension, more or less immediately after I came out.
A disability pension?
Disability
pension. And how much was that?
12 and sixpence a week.
And was that, did you find that reasonable?
No.
Sorry.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, if it hadn't been work, I'd have been in trouble, wouldn't I? It was only part of a part.
Did it go up? I mean, are you still getting it?
Oh, yeah, I'm still getting it now. When I had the kneecap removed in the on the left knee in 1994, the pension went up, and at that time I was also receiving a pension for hearing, and so they combined the two together, and I was I'm on a 70% pension, more pension now.
Do you think that's fair? Do you think you're being well treated that way now? Or?
Well, I do, but I was a bit upset when they took this other kneecap out, and I claimed that that was something to do with the fall that I'd had on board ship. But they wouldn't wear that. They said no, that wasn't possible. So I was a bit upset about that, and in fact, I went to the War Pensions Tribunal. But the British Legion, who was supposed to be representing me there, they lost all my papers, quite inconveniently, including the hearse certificate. The only thing I got there to show that I'd had this was this thing here, you see.
That's on your papers?
Yeah, on my papers.
And you've got a copy of the hearse certificate later.
That's
so
right.
Now, what about... So that sort of takes it. Now, what about your membership of various associations and contact? Which did you join first? Because your Royal Naval Association, your Royal Arthur, we're just quickly interested in that.
I was a member of the British Legion from 1943. My father joined me into the British Legion in Holborn in 1943. And I was a member of the Legion, excepting for a break where they lost all my papers, which I got very annoyed about. But I went back in again, and I'm still a member of the Legion.
And what does that give you?
Pardon?
Why are you a member? What does that give you, you think?
Oh, it's entertaining. We celebrate Armistice Day and all that sort of thing, but it's mainly because of its nature of having their own headquarters, shall we say. A lot of the people who are in the Legion never saw the war, never near the war, and too young to be even in the forces. They become associate members. Whereas on the Royal Naval Association, you're limiting your Royal Naval Association to mostly to people who've been in the Navy, but now the associate members, which are wives and friends.
Now, tell me about the Royal Naval Association, because you're quite senior now. Well, the local branch, Elstree and Borehamwood. You're a president? Or
I'm president at the moment.
Now,
it started in February.
Doesn't matter.
I joined it as soon after it was founded, and I was in office of some time or another.
Now, why is that important to you? Because it is important to you. You're the president of it. What does the Royal Naval Association offer you?
Well, it's one of the only links with the Navy. And as we say, once Navy, always Navy. We are not fortunate enough to have our own headquarters, and so we had to rely on different venues. For some time we were in the sports club of the Eastern Electricity Company in Borehamwood. We eventually finished up at the Legion, and we meet at the Legion once a month.
And what's a meeting like? What happens?
I think I told you earlier before you started, we're about one of the few branches where we understand that the men come in uniform, and we make it a point that if somebody comes, they're supposed to take note of this and buy themselves a pair of flannels and a jacket.
You don't mean uniform, you just mean formal dress.
Formal dress, yeah. We opened the proceedings by the standard being paraded, which is followed by an opening prayer. And then the business takes over. We have the minutes of the previous meeting read and approved. The secretary then talks about any correspondence that he's had. Treasurer gives the details of what has taken place at the meetings, and so he's able to give you a balance. And then we have the welfare officer's report. Oh, no, sorry, the social secretary's report. At least once a month, I would say, we go to visit another branch. Not having our own headquarters and being in the British Legion, we can't offer these other branches a Saturday night or a Friday night where we could invite them, because the Legion obviously wants those premises on those two nights. So we visit Edgware, Hamworth, Watford, Bletchley, you name it, anywhere in our area.
And that's just a social visit.
Social visit, yeah. Then we have Stand Easy, which is a normal thing. We sell the raffle tickets at that time. After that, we have the welfare officer's report. We have two ladies at the moment doing the welfare officer report. And then we have any visitors or any that may come, and any new members, which are very sparse these days. I don't think we've had a new member for...
So how long will that formal part of the meeting last?
I would say from about 8 o'clock to 9:15. And then during the Stand Easy, we'd have the raffle, declare the raffle, and also we have a 100 club, which gives us funds. This year, we've had a new standard, which was pretty costly, and we devoted all our resources really to that.
So that
was last year. Sorry, last year.
Now, what about you're also a member of the Royal Arthur Association, the Shore Station. What's that like?
Well, they meet for four nights: Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at Skegness. So I haven't been there now for about 4 years, I suppose. I'm also a member of the Flower Class Corvette Association, which meets at Leamington Spa.
Now, what are the Royal Arthur Association meetings like?
Well, they're...
Briefly.
Well, they much the same. They, in fact, have an annual meeting, but they do have a lot of entertainment in the evenings. finishing up on the Saturday night with a big dance affair. And then on Sundays, we have a parade at Ingemolds, which is more or less, we've got a glass window there, Ingemolds, for the Flower Class Corvette Association. And, for the Royal Arthur Association.
And what about the Flower Class Association? What does that mean?
Flower Class Corvette Association, that was started in the 1980s. And at one time we had about 1,500 members throughout the England and Scotland and Wales and such like, and also a lot of overseas members, including the Royal Arthur Association. So cut that bit out. We meet at Leamington Spa.
It's an annual thing.
Annual thing, yeah. And we have a meeting on a Saturday afternoon. We have our meetings as we did right at the very beginning in the Royal Naval Association headquarters at Leamington. And we have the social meeting in the RNA headquarters. We now have our Sunday morning service at the headquarters there.
And that's an annual do.
Yeah. At one time, we filled the spa upstairs and downstairs with members, so much so that the ladies, the wives, weren't allowed in the hall. It's now got down to somewhere in the region of about 50 members that attend. There are others that don't attend, obviously, that can't get there. I was in that right from the very beginning. What happened was, there was a note in the Navy.
It's all right. So these associations are obviously very important to you then.
Yeah. The other one I belong to, I've got two others, I belong to the Royal Naval Communications Association. That is just all old communication people. I'm also a member of the London Flotilla, which is made up of people, mostly RNVR or old RNVR people. And why I'm joined into that was because one of our Probus members, he was dying with cancer, and I used to go and visit him in Barnet, and he asked his wife, he was a treasurer.
No, we don't need to know how you joined it. What does it do?
Well, there again, they have... they meet at the Naval Club in Hill Street, and they have people come to give details of what's happening in the Navy today, what happened in the old days. That thing that I've gave you there, The Survivor, that was published in their magazine. They have a meeting at Greenwich every year, and a service at Greenwich every year, and lunch there in the Painted Hall.
Thank you very much.